SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, well into hour three, and as we get started, and Breeders' Cup conversation with Jay Pribman upcoming, I popped in my head that I saw the notice during the week, the 15th, October 15th, which is Monday, is the deadline for the foal nominations for Breeders' Cup lifetime eligibility. If you bred a horse and you've got a weanling, $400, it's about as good of $400 as you're going to spend. And lifetime eligibility. And as long as the stallion, you know, is on the roster, $400, you can do it right in the members area at the Breeders' Cup website and get it out of the way. And if somebody else handles this stuff for you, make sure that they've taken care of this. And call your office manager, wherever your mare's boarded and the baby, and if they're the ones that are supposed to do it, make sure they've done it. You do not want to find out 2 or 3 years from now that it got lost in the shuffle. It's money well spent, $400. Jay Pribman, have you paid your $400 for all of your weanlings?
I have. I've nominated all of my offspring.
Perfect. Well done. It is money well spent, and you never know. You just and it for the lifetime of your horse's career, and if you're going to sell your horse, it enhances their value in the catalog as well. So when that little BC logo at the bottom, BC eligible. And Jay, we're a week further in, and another big weekend went by. Some impressions before we talk anything else?
Regarding what, Steve?
Whatever you were taken with. I mean, obviously we got the classic division.
You mean besides your voice?
Beside the classic wins that we talked about last week, of course, but I suppose the glamour division when it comes to the juveniles, we had two, one upset and one heavy favorite. Some thoughts about the futurity and the champagne?
Sure. Well, you no doubt know I'm doing those the Road to the Kentucky Derby analysis. Yep. Of those races, and they're hopefully going to be helpful for people who are trying to go to school on the Breeders' Cup Juvenile as well. And, you know, Complexity's race I thought was pretty terrific, setting a fast pace and running straight through to the wire like he did. There were a couple others behind him who I think might be okay too, including Code of Honor, who stumbled horribly and ran on well for second. I think those are two really high quality colts. Fig came back well. The question with Complexity is going to be his ability to stretch out, being by McLean's Music out of Yes, It's True Mare. McLean's Music is the sire of cloud computing, so we've got a Preakness winner there. The bottom side's a little shorter, and Jose Ortiz was quoted by my colleague David Grenning of saying that I think he can get a mile and a 16th, and then beyond that, we'll see. But I thought his race, to set that kind of a pace and keep on running, I thought was a pretty impressive race for him. And I think he'll give game winner a run for the money going a mile and a 16th in the Breeders' Cup. As for the Breeders' Futurity, that race left me a little bit cold. The winner, Nick Sko, got loose on the lead. He set a solid pace, but he dominated the field. The number didn't come back all that well. I thought it was more of an indictment of some of those who ran behind him. Now, he did have Lasix for that race, so there's that. There were a couple of horses who had trips in the race, which I noted in the analysis, and maybe some of those horses can improve off of it. But in terms of looking just at the the times of the races, the figs of the races, and just passing the eye test, I thought the Champagne was a much stronger race than the Breeders' Futurity.
Agreed, and that I think is the general consensus. We of course also filled out a lot of fields, and between winning your in races and some of the other, you know, some of the other sidebar divisions like the juvenile, some of the juvenile novelty races, particularly the juvenile sprint on the turf. Anybody else kind of grab you at all? The, you know, the spinster and the Beldame and so forth. Anything else that stood out to you?
I mean, those, it's just hard to get a line on those. That division, the Distaff division, is a little bit in flux right now. You've got the 3-year-old fillies who are obviously looking a lot stronger now off the wins, you know, the good performances a few weeks ago in the cotillion of Monomoy Girl and Midnight Bizu. And then there's certainly the questions over Abel Tasman, who she and Valdori just worked this morning. I'm out here at Santa Anita, and it's been a pretty good morning of activity with a number of Breeders' Cup horses working. And Abel Tasman, kind of, she looked like her old self this morning. She worked a lot better, and so I would expect her to bounce back with a better performance in her next race. She was fighting off, Stafford told me, a little bit of a sickness, he thinks. Her blood work wasn't quite right. It wasn't to the point where she got sick, but he thinks she was fighting something off. She was listless that day. You could just see going to the gate, she was kind of out of sorts. She didn't want to load. She never got involved in the race at all, but she looked certainly interested this morning, and I think we'll see her bounce back. I'm not sure that the Beldame or the Spinster winners are going to be up to that, but look, if Abel Tasman throws in another clunker at Churchill Downs like she did earlier this year, Derby week, then maybe one of those horses can jump up. But I think the 3-year-old fillies, I think, have gotten a lot, have come along really well, and I think those are two very good 3-year-old fillies that are headed towards the Distaff.
Jay, the classic division, of course, your category, and we got the official word yesterday. I don't think it came as any real surprise. I saw that Dave Grenick handled the reporting of Diversify bypassing the classic.
Right. We had, the comment I had had on the horse and when we had our updates that were online on Wednesday afternoon was that he's not fully committed to the race, and he's barely hanging on to this list, but we're going to leave him on for now because you could just see it was trending towards him not being able to participate. So the one thing about him coming out is that it really does change the complexion of the pace of the race. And it certainly would, I think, be of benefit to a horse like Mendelsohn, who wants to be on the lead, and he was chasing Diversify through that hot pace in the Jockey Club Gold Cup. I think the connections of Mendelsohn are probably would be the most excited that Diversifies out of the race. And, you know, but larger than that is just obviously we're hoping that, you know, for the best for Rick Violet.
You are, you know, very steadily, you know, working your way around the barns and you know, giving everybody a chance to look at contenders. And midweek, you focused plenty of ink on Yoshida. And some thoughts, Jay, for those that might not have had a chance to read yet.
Well, his career was all grass until he ran in the Woodward Stakes. And the result of that race completely changed his end-of-the-year focus. Now he's going towards the Classic, where he might have been looking at something like the turf or even cutting back to the mile, because he did win going a mile and an eighth on the grass in the Turf Classic at Churchill Downs, the race before the Kentucky Derby earlier this year. And he's had several works at Saratoga since his win. Mott is the fourth winningest trainer all time in Breeders' Cup history, so I just thought it was a good time to catch up on that horse. There'll be plenty of time to do some of the shorter priced horses as we get closer to the Classic, like Accelerate and West Coast and McKenzie and the horses like that. And I thought this was a good time to check in on Yoshida and just do a little update on him, check in with Mott, get an update on some of his horses, not only the ones that he's got a couple that are running in the Breeders' Cup, but just to give an update on some of the ones that he had hoped to run in the Breeders' Cup. Spike and Late, who's out with a splint injury, but he updated me that he's going to stay in training next year at age 5. And Mucho, who's been who's going to miss the Breeders' Cup Juvenile and has been at Fair Hill, is going to come back to his barn when he goes down to South Florida in a few more weeks. And I'll be training in South Florida this winter with, obviously, eyes on the Derby preps and the Derby and the Triple Crown itself. And Hofberg, who we had hoped to run in the Classic, but he just didn't feel like he could go forward with him towards the Classic off of the way he ran in the Pennsylvania Derby. He's looking at perhaps the Clark for him, but he'll stay in training next year at age 4 as well. So it's just kind of a overview of those things related to Bill Mott, along with little nuggets on some of the other Classic contenders and the status of some of them.
Well, we will continue to watch. And, Jay, I wanted to slip one other topic in, and I didn't get a chance to advance on it, but I can only assume that you certainly knew Jack Karlik. For those that hadn't seen the note, Jack Karlik passed it at the age of 85 and was... an institution in the handicapping pages of Southern California.
Sure, very well known to fans as the sweep with Daily Racing for him, and then worked for the Pasadena Star News until his retirement. So, yeah, certainly a well-known figure out here, and as I'm sure others have told you, and you probably saw on some of your visits out here back then, quite the character as well.
Well, Jack Karlik was 85, and I think Brad wrote the obit last week, and I wanted to make sure that people were aware. Jay, anything of note this weekend that you're watching?
Well, the Inokia Stakes is tomorrow at Santa Anita, or Sunday, I should say, at Santa Anita. Chasing yesterday, American Pharoah's Full Sister will get back in action after she won impressively first time out, and then really just ate a lot of dirt at Saratoga when she ran in the spinaway. So we'll look to see if she can bounce back. There's only 5 in the race, and she drew the outside post, so really shouldn't be much excuse for her in there. But there's a filly from Jerry Hollendorfer's barn in there. It's just an illusion who won nicely first time out, so it looks like it's kind of a two-horse race, and see if how they progress, and maybe look at those fillies as kind of ones to use that as a springboard towards something like the Starlet at Los Alamitos in a couple of months.
Well, looking forward, Jay, and starting to get serious and track the fields, and PPs became available a couple days ago at DRF, and the Breeders' Cup Players Package will continue to layer in information for everybody. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Okay, Steve. Take care.
I appreciate it. Jay Pribman, everybody. Jay will write up the works today, including the good news that Abel Tasman appears back and headed toward her distaff date, which is good news. Let's take a break. Got the final half here, and Nicole Russo is going to join us. We'll get a couple of sale tidbits in from Nicole, and we'll talk about her divisions, and she's got a couple of key Breeders' Cup fields to track. Nicole Russo joins us next.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Noon on this Friday, and Nicole Russo is going to join us from the Daily Racing Forum. And Nicole covered about seven different things this week. Let's see. She did a little Keeneland. She did the advance on the Best of Ohio program at Thistledown. She was keeping tabs of the OBS sale. She looked ahead to Monday's sale here in Saratoga, the Fasig Tipton fall sale. Let's see, what else? She is tracking the distaff and the juvenile turf sprint among the Breeders' Cup categories. Is that pretty much everything you did this week, Nicole?
Yeah, and you know, we've also got the Barrett sale, the Barrett yearling and mixed sale coming up in California next week that, you know, I've looked at for the advance. My colleague Steve Anderson will be stepping in for some coverage of that next week. October's a busy sale month.
Well, and the Barrett sale, of course, had been the paddock sale during Del Mar had been postponed into this mixed opportunity it's a racing age, right? It's racing age, and it's a little bit of everything.
The majority of the catalog has turned out to be yearlings. This kind of the stop on the yearling calendar out there, but it's also a mixed sale. Some horses of racing age, and some broodmares as well.
Exactly, and same thing here in New York. This is always a sale that has a lot of weanlings, has a lot of New York weanlings.
Yeah, and, you know, this sale has really found an interesting niche on the calendar, particularly as the New York Bred program has just gotten stronger and stronger in recent years. Last year's sale, I believe, showed a jump of 34% in the average and 41% in the median. The sale has really continued to grow and find a strong niche in the catalog. I've got your 226 horses cataloged for Monday's sale. Of those, 170 are weanlings, all New York breds, and it's really an interesting opportunity for those looking to get a jump on what's been a really vibrant yearling market in New York. The Faith and Tipton New York bred yearling sale in Saratoga in August has posted record renewals each of the last couple of years, and I think that bodes really well for the weanling market coming into this sale next week.
On that topic, too, let's get a recap of what went on at OBS this week. They had a good first day Tuesday, and then it seemed like Wednesday, Thursday were very solid.
Yeah, definitely. You know, OBS traditionally held its yearling sale in August. Last year, they moved the sale to October, thinking, well, we'll move more toward the end of the season and try to take advantage of, you know, a little bit of a sense of urgency, you know, from those people who are kind of running out of their opportunities to fill the orders for yearlings. And it really paid off well for them last year in October, showing, you know, some improved figures. They improved the figures again this week. As you mentioned, of course, the top prices came in what they billed as the select session on Tuesday. They were led by a $340,000 Tyro Prince Colt, who set a record for an OBS yearling sale. Young sires really led the way there. You know, Cairo Prince, a current freshman sire, sitting third on the freshman earnings list with runners like Cairo Cat. The other top prices were a $210,000 filly by another freshman sire, Florida Sire Uncaptured, and a $200,000 colt from the first crop of Commissioner. So young stallions really getting a chance to make a mark at this sale. The sale continued on well through you know, through the open sessions on Wednesday and Thursday. Overall, the cumulative gross was up 18%. The average price went up 10%. And, you know, the median figures and the buyback rate really steady, both in the select and open sessions. And I think those are indicators of a really good middle market. Because really what we've seen in the yearling market, you know, earlier this decade as it recovered from the recession were, you know, maybe we'd get strong prices at the top and an average price that was improved, but it was a polarized market. You know, it was those other figures, such as the buyback rate, that, you know, struggled a little. And we've really seen throughout this summer and fall yearling season, you know, pretty steady buyback rates, pretty steady or improved medians. And those things, I think, are a sign of a good middle market, that maybe we're not struggling as much with that polarization, even though it is still a selective market.
One name I just kind of mentioned that, you know, I see all the time in entries when it comes to racing, but who absolutely went to town buying yearlings, Bill Stiritz, bought like 15 or 20 yearlings down there this week.
Yeah, definitely. You know, maybe after being a little quiet in some of the other sales, and you know, that's kind of what OBS was going for. It's, you know, it's a solid place for buyers such as that to come in and, you know, fill these orders and make an impact.
Interesting. Well, I want to say, is it Scott Becker that trains for Stiritz? I think so. But I just kept, as I, you know, I kept going back the, you know, the last couple of days looking at results, which is, you know, I, at the end of, you know, sessions, I'll go and I'll just, and I just go, Stiritz. I was like, oh my God, how many horses did he buy? It's like when the Koreans, when you see the KORA and when they buy up horses. Well, let's turn to the afternoon action and your categories, and you're tracking the distaff as important a race as there is in the Breeders' Cup lineup, and you've got the newest race, the Juvenile Turf Sprint. Let's start there and give everybody an overview, Nicole, of how this is shaping up, the Juvenile Turf Sprint becoming an official part of the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, you know, we expected the picture for the Juvenile Turf Sprint to start to crystallize a little bit after last weekend. There were three win and you're in races offering an automatic berth in the starting gate for the race. And I think it's really interesting. Those three races were all won by colts trying turf for the first time. And I think that speaks to a little bit of the opportunity that the Juvenile Turf Sprint, you know, provides to these connections. You know, of course, throughout the summer and fall, you're looking at these two-year-olds, and you're trying to find their niche. Do they want to run short? Do they want to run long? Do they run on turf? Do they want to run on dirt? And I think the Juvenile Turf Sprint, you know, it provides a little bit of an opportunity for some of these horses, especially the ones that were a bit more versatile. Strike Silver, who won the Indian Summer at Keeneland, I think he's a great example of that. You know, he's been very good on dirt, winning his debut at Churchill Downs and then running a very good second in the Stanford, beating just a neck by Sambaye. And, you know, Mark Cassie, you know, the connections sort of looked at him and said, you know, well, to get into the Breeders' Cup, you know, we think his best opportunity is going to be maybe running a little shorter, and there's not the opportunity to do that on the dirt. So let's try him on the turf. He's got the pedigree for it, being by Violin, who led his sire Medaglia d'Oro, has already got stakes performers on both turf and dirt. His dam scored her only win on a synthetic surface. You know, and they wound up trying Strike Silver in the Indian Summer at Keeneland instead of running in something like the Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland, and it paid off. He won the Indian Summer to punch his ticket to the Juvenile Turf. The other win in urine races on the weekend, Uncle Benny winning the Futurity at the Belmont, which itself is a race that's reinventing itself a little bit. You know, the historic Futurity moving to turf this year and finding a new bit of importance as a win in urine event now for this new Breeders' Cup race. Uncle Benny won his debut on dirt at Monmouth. The son of Declaration of War, who, of course, a multiple Group 1 winner in Europe before coming here to run so well in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Uncle Benny moving over to turf to win the win and you're in for the Juvenile Turf Sprint. I know trainer Jason Service might like to stretch this horse out in the future. He said he'll pre-enter him in the Juvenile Turf going a bit longer as well, but with that race likely to overfill, it looks like, you know, they might have to take advantage of their automatic berth into the Juvenile Turf Sprint if they want to run in the Breeders' Cup.
Hmm.
And then It's Gonna Hurt, another son of Violence, who we just mentioned, stepping up from Maiden Claiming Company to win the Speakeasy at Santa Anita and to grab that automatic berth into the Breeders' Cup.
I'm tracking about, I don't know, maybe 22, 24 horses. This feels like it's a group that is going to oversubscribe, and the committee will have to rank them and so forth. How many do you expect Wesley Ward to run? I've got Shang Shang Shang, Stillwater Cove, Chelsea Cloisters, and Moonlight Romance as his, you know, most glaring potential participants.
Yeah, you know, definitely those, you know, and I think he's got some options. I think one of, you know, the storylines for this race is going to be, you know, which two-year-olds he elects to place where, because in addition to the ones that you've mentioned, I think he's also got Drajic, who ran very well to be third in the Futurity. She has two solid stakes efforts against males since he switched her to turf. You know, and he's also got May Never Know, who ran very well in the Speakeasy after, you know, in her first start on turf. He had some turf intent there. The Colleen got rained off the turf at Monmouth this summer, you know, which she won. And then she shipped across the country to run very well in the Speakeasy. So I think she has to be considered a candidate as well. Shang 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 hasn't run since that dramatic win in the Norfolk at Royal Ascot earlier this year, you know, which she won against males at a huge field in dramatic fashion to pick off the first win in your in berth into this race. She hasn't run since, I believe she had a little foot bruise over the summer, which forced her to miss a start at Saratoga. She's been working steadily at Ward's Keeneland base. Chelsea Cloisters, who you mentioned, was well traveled over the summer, was group stakes placed in France, finished second to her stablemate Stillwater Cove at Saratoga before running, coming back to run second in the Indian Summer, just caught at the wire by Strike Silver, who we talked about. And then, you know, Moonlight Romance was a very nice win in the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Turf Sprint. So yeah, I think he holds a very strong hand for this race, you know, depending on which horses he elects to place where.
Also, of course, you're going to get a big group of Euros. How many do you estimate are interested in this from amongst the Europeans?
I think we'll get a solid handful. I think some of the Europeans, you know, it's sort of like some of the other Breeders' Cup races where maybe some of the top horses in Europe, they won't ship them overseas, and, you know, they'll begin aiming them for next spring's big events, including the Coronation Cup, which is the new kid on the block at Royal Ascot, a very nice group event, group one event for three-year-olds, sprinting over there, you know, as a big spring target. But I do expect that we'll get a solid contingent for this race. I think there are a handful of European trainers who might like to stretch their horses out in the juvenile turf. I think we're going to see a good number of cross-entered horses, and it's really going to kind of be up to the committee where they place these horses and how the connections choose to make their final entries in response to that. One very interesting horse I've been tracking is Soldier's Call, who's a multiple group winner in Europe this season. Trainer Archie Watson has mentioned the juvenile turf sprint as a potential goal for him all along. He actually ran on the Arc de Triomphe undercard over the weekend and ran third in a group one event against older horses, a very good effort from Soldier's Call. So we're just waiting to hear, you know, if they elect to run him back now, you know, toward the end of this month in the Breeders' Cup. I think he would certainly be, you know, a candidate should they choose to do that. Signora Cabello, a filly who's been mentioned as a potential for a trip over here. And then Pocket Dynamo, who's kind of been knocking at the door in group company this season in Europe. Phoenix Thoroughbreds bought him shortly after he ran second to Shang 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 at Royal Ascot, with a specific intent of targeting him for this race. You know, a consistent horse who, you know, I do think is going to make the trip over.
Very good. Well, just a minute or two, Nick, to survey the distaff landscape. It feels like a pretty set lineup that everybody is familiar with. Wildcat, though, forced her way into it. We just heard from Jay Privman minutes ago. He was on hand for Abel Tasman's important work. And she seems to have her little, you know, the little illness that seemed to kind of mitigate her performance in the Zenyatta. Seems like she's back to normal.
Yeah, it, you know, it sure seems and sounds like it. You know, of course, we've covered, you know, came out of the Zenyatta, maybe seemed to be incubating something a little bit that, you know, took the starch out of her, you know, and opened the door for her stablemate, Vale Dory, there to get back in the column when column with the blinkers on, you know, the other backer. But Abel Tasman, you know, returning to a track she's run well on at Churchill Downs, last year's Kentucky Oaks winner. And she's likely to meet this year's Oaks winner, Monomoy Girl, who is the current favorite for the distaff on our, you know, on our hypothetical line drawn up by our national handicapper, Mike Watchmaker. You know, Monomoy Girl has run so well at Churchill Downs throughout her career, including this year's Oaks win. Her win streak was, her perfect season was spoiled by her disqualification in the Cotillion, but I think, you know, she's going to be coming into this race at her home track in fine form. And another filly who really likes Churchill Downs, Blue Prize, who just earned her first grade one in the Spinster despite drifting out late. She owns three graded victories at Churchill Downs, you know, so I think she's almost flying a little bit under the radar with some of these, you know, sort of bigger names in here.
Well, and my list has got, it looks like at least 10, Monomoy, Tasman, Midnight Bizu, Eskimo Kisses, Blue Prize, Champagne Problems, Wonder Godot, Valdori, La Force, Patty Gallagher, Wildcat. We're waiting for Catman to decide about Feral, Mopetism on lists, Pacific Wind, Talk Verve to Me, She's a Julie, and Ivy Bell. That's what I'm working with.
Yeah, and you know, I do think ultimately we're going to wind up, you know, with a field of around, you know, around 10 or 11 horses for this.
Excellent. Well, Nicole, we'll continue to monitor and utilize your tracking of the Cup and Distaff and the Juvenile Turf Sprint, and I appreciate it, the sales update as well, and we'll start to also look forward to talking to you ahead of the bloodstock trade after Breeders' Cup, the important November sales, and lots of broodmare prospects being signed on and added to the catalog. So a lot to do over the next 4 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, the Breeders' Cup directly impacts those sales, you know, as we'll get some fillies and mares coming direct from the races to the sales, or the dams or half-siblings of some horses. I know filly and mare sprint candidate Dream Tree cataloged at Keeneland November. The dam of Monomoy Girl is cataloged at Phasing November. So certainly a picture that's fluid for those sales.
Well, and it, whenever the Breeders' Cup is in Kentucky, you know, the one Keeneland, and now we'll have another one soon, and the tie-in is always really strong, where people come to Breeders' Cup and then they stay for the sales, and it seems that these sales particularly are energized when we have Kentucky Cups. So we'll watch for that.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I mean, just with the way the market is in general, too, I'm very much anticipating a vibrant market.
I will look forward to talking to you soon, Nicole. Big help. Nicole Russo, everybody, who does just a tremendous job, and they got her doing just countless things, as you can tell. We'll stay right here, Hammer. Just a couple of minutes, Hammer, to give a quick hello.
Well, good. I'm glad to say a quick hello. I just made an early morning run down here to San Luis Rey to check things out, and I can preface it by saying beautiful San Luis Rey. I mean, what a nice morning down here. As you know, we got about 450 horses back in training here, and gosh, I can see why people are here. It's so quiet. It's so nice. the sun's out. There's probably 50 horses on the track, 40 horses on the track, and everyone's moving at a nice slow pace. And guess what? If I had 8 or 10 horses and I was training, I think I'd like to be here. But no, we're down here checking out, you know, we just put up the two pavilions last year after the fire, and I tell you what, everything is back to normal here. It's great. It's funny because we're just down here checking out. I say me and Bobby Troger, our stall superintendent. And everybody thinks, uh-oh, what's going on? What's he doing here? But we're just here to say hi, so everything's good.
Nice.
But, yeah, you know, we'd like to get down here every couple of months just to see how it's going. And, boy, they've just rebounded like you wouldn't believe. So everyone's got a smile on their face here, which is great. So, anyway, that's where I'm reporting in from, Bonsall, California, and... next time you come out here, maybe make a little run down here so you really can't see it. It's a nice, wonderful, peaceful place. If I was a horse, this is where I would want to be.
Very cool. I've driven by and just never gotten off the, you know, just never gotten off the highway.
No, you have to want to come here. You don't just drive by it. It's in between the 5 freeway, which is the big, you know, north-south artery, and then the 15, which used to be a lazy kind of road, and now it's, you know, that area is booming out there too, so it's kind of right in the middle there. So it's easy access if you're down here, and it's a great little spot. But I tell you what, but Santa Anita, after running like what 15 stake races in the first 2 weeks, it's kind of like time to sit back a little bit and take a little bit of a breather as far as that goes. But the racing continues, and I think after the dust cleared up there, we're going to send. We're going to send a few horses to Kentucky, and I think most of them are going to be, you know, one, two, or three choices. You know, Roy H. showed that he is back. You know, you kind of wonder if they're going to come back to their form, especially a horse like him. But Peter's brought him along slowly and then, you know, pushed the button last time, and he's going to be very tough to beat in the sprint again, I think, for sure.
And you got last year's filly too. I mean, that seems like she's back in
Sky Diamond.
Form. and Sky Diamonds. It's so nice. I was delighted for Bill Spahr to get that win. I know that.
Yeah.
Right.
He was kind of quiet for a while, and he was kind of hinting that she was getting a little better. And you know, if you're a follower, I mean, $11 on that horse in that field was
unbelievable.
Was a gift. Unbelievable is right. I know Dick Mandela was a little disappointed in that anonymity and was well meant and went off a big favorite and had a little bit more time between races, and I know he expected a little bit more, but he's still thinking possible filly and mare sprint, and that's, boy, a lot of horses going in there. That might be a full boat. That might be, I have to hit the all button again like I did last year and got lucky with that 50-1 shot. But a very competitive bunch in there. And, of course, Accelerate is going to be back on the work tab here soon. And, you know, he's ready to go. And Abel Tasman will get
today.
Over
she worked today.
I think. Yeah.
She worked today.
She's back on board. So we'll see about that. At Vale Dori, I guess. Guess he'll be headed there. Why not?
Yep. Yep. And, that's what Baffert said. He was taking her. Why
he's
not?
He's headed there.
Yep.
Yeah. A little disappointing by... run by Proctor's filly in the Surfer Girl. Just never got on track, you know. Just was maybe in a little bit of an awkward spot, but not terrible. It was a small field. Looked like she could have maneuvered if she wanted to. But there's nothing wrong. I guess she'll go. She'll head there. And the winner of the Speakeasy, Brian Corner, he's headed that way. So, of course, the two-year-olds, Bellafina and Game Winner, they'll probably right now, if you had to pick favorites, they'll probably be favored. So, once again, we'll be sending a good hand out there to the poker table and come Breeders' Cup weekend. And I don't think you'll see too many more, you know, horses if they're either in or they're out at this point. But anyway, we're still got another 3-4 weeks to go, and we're settled down a little bit, so it's all good.
Well, well done. It's been fun watching and betting, and we will start to, you know, take it seriously and start to make our list and check them twice. Have a great weekend, Hammer, and we'll get a full visit in next week.
Yeah, that sounds great. We got the Stronach 5 today, and let's go. And then you're 100% right. Start handicapping now for the Breeders' Cup, because that day you don't want to get caught up and have to do all the work. So. It's all good. Thanks, Steve. Always a pleasure, and enjoy your weekend.
Rick Hammerly, folks. Away they go on your Twitter roster. And away we go into the weekend. Thank Marty McGee. It's the DeRosa and James Scully and Nick and Bob Quigley, Jay Pribman, Hammer, Nicole Russo. Good luck this weekend, everybody. We got... Opinions at Keeneland from Gus, and we'll talk to you Monday.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com. to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.